I'm going to start by reading you an email that I received. It says, Dear Pastor Steve, greetings, Pastor Steve. I'm writing to you today to share mine and my family's experience at Trinity Nazarene. I have to begin by telling you how thankful I am that God led us to your church. When my husband was transferred for work to Naperville, I was both scared and, have to admit, very upset. We left everything to move here, our friends, our family, and even the town I grew up in. Now suddenly my husband and I, with our two children, are moving to Naperville. I honestly had to look it up on the map to even see where Naperville was. It didn't take long to realize that Naperville is a great but intimidating place to live. We also learned that moving to Naperville meant finding a new church home. I loved my church, my home church, and was incredibly sad to leave our church family behind. We tried out a couple of nice churches in the area, but there was something that was missing. I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but I knew that we were looking for something more than we hadn't quite found yet until we visited Trinity. Before even walking in, we were met by Paul Sloan at the door. His kindness and funny disposition made a big impact on my husband. He always found it challenging to fit into church. As we made our way in, we were thankful that we didn't have to search for the nursery, but I was even more thankful to meet Elaine. She was so incredibly helpful. She not only walked us over to the nursery to check in our little one, but she also walked us all the way back to the children's check-in where we were met by Faith Gould. I'm sorry, I don't know how to spell her last name. After shaking hands and meeting quite a few friendly people, we made it into the sanctuary. It was apparent that Trinity takes pride in their worship. Darren does such a great job leading worship. Could you tell him I said that? I could see many people raising their hands and praising God, and it seemed like they believed what they were singing. I have to tell you, each of the times we visited, it was very clear that there wasn't just a vision for the church, but the church was living it out. My family and I have learned that reaching people, to equip people, to reach people, isn't just a vision statement. It's a call for each of us to live. It was also clear that our next step after worship was getting involved in a life group. One of the things we've missed most about our church back home was our small group. We knew we wanted to attend a church with a small group ministry. After the service was over, we headed over to the nursery where I met Erin Crawford. Erin is so delightful. She was so kind, and we talked for a while about moving to such a new place. She told me that she understood and said that a lot of people remember when they moved to Naperville. Then she told me that my family and I were also welcome to join her and Chris's life group. We asked when and where it met and made sure it wouldn't be a problem. Pastor, the main reason I'm writing this letter is because this church and our life group saved our marriage. My husband wasn't crazy about trying to establish new relationships with people, especially since it was so hard to leave the last group. And we aren't really sure how long we'll be staying in Naperville. But when he met Tony Lloyd, it was like he made a new best friend. So we were so thankful for the wonderful people in our life group. Seriously. It was because of the connections that we made outside of worship on Sundays that made all the difference to us. Our life group provided a place for us to build relationships. It wasn't like we had to bare our souls every week, but because we knew people, it made it easier to ask for help when we needed it. And as you know, we really needed it. I'm sorry, I'm rambling. Anyway, I just wanted to encourage you to keep up the good work. God is using Trinity in powerful ways. We are a result of that. Hope you have a wonderful week, and we'll see you at Life Group tomorrow night. Gratefully, Darcy, Joel, Cooper, and Caitlin. Dated Thursday, September 14th, 2017. This is a letter that I pray as your pastor that I'll get in my inbox. This is an email that I desire as your pastor to receive when people understand what it means to not just show up and be a part of the church, but to show up and be the church. Darcy, Joel, Cooper, and Caitlin, they don't exist, but they do. What I read to you today was an email that I pray that we'll receive in the future. What will the future Darcy's and Joel's and Cooper's and Caitlin's say about the church that they visited, the church that they attended, the church that they got plugged into? What will they say about us? Will this be the email that we get on September 14th in 2017 or 18 or 19? Or will it say something different? I don't know about you, but I desire to be the pastor of a church that does this. I desire to be the pastor of a church that's going to take serious the call of what it means to go out and to live this mission in the with the people around us, and to see God do what only God can do, and how he desires to partner with us, his people. The point this morning that I want to share with you is the reality of this email that I received is that it really could have been written about anything. It could have been written about United and Unique and Melissa Henry's leadership. It could have been written about prime timers and how they enjoy getting together and their life group meets together under the leadership of Shirley Jones. It could have been written about the experience that they had in Wheaton with the Wheaton group under the leadership of Pastor Caleb, and how that group has desired to continue to stay together and grow together. But you know what? They don't just inwardly look. They look outwardly too. They look at the people in their community, in their area that could come, and they might not ever step foot in the church, but they'll step foot in a life group. They look for opportunities to connect people to the body of Christ, which goes far beyond the four walls that we sit in right now. It could have been written about the Snigowski's group, who meets faithfully, and I hear incredible reports and stories about how much they love being together, or the Coughlin's group, or the Heinrich's. You see, we already have life groups that have been in place for a while, but you know what's amazing about it? Is they've grown organically. In many ways, we became so overwhelmed with trying to keep up doing what we were doing that we didn't have the ability to do it after we lost a pastor that was specifically looking at that area. And so now I'm coming back to you as the pastor of the church to tell you that the next steps for us, for everybody who walks in the door, is to get involved in a life group. We're going to talk about the power of small and what it means and what the power of growing small looks like. So I want you to turn in your scriptures to, and I'm going to cheat, I apologize, it's actually tomorrow's reading, Mark 4. So turn with me to Mark 4, and I want you to, it's on page 764 in the Pew Bibles. Sorry about that. It's 764 in the Pew Bibles. I'm going to read this story with you all. Starting in verse 26. So we're in Mark 4, starting in verse 26. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's sleeping or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crop on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the head of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." So we understand that this is a parable that Jesus is teaching. We have to ask ourselves, well, then what is a parable? A parable are earthly stories with heavenly meaning. It's the simplest way to understand what a parable is. It's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In the parables, he was conveying, in this particular parable, he was conveying the truth that his ministry, that his kingdom would be built and established over a long period of time. And then once it had grown into the point where it was ripened for harvest, then the harvest would come. We understand the harvest in this particular passage to be the judgment day. We all have to be, again, reminded every once in a while that judgment day is coming and it's a real thing. We have to be reminded that Jesus said in this parable, and as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it. Well, how does he harvest it? He harvests it it with a sickle because the harvest time has come. We have to be reminded of this. So I want to look at this maybe with a little bit of a different perspective, a little bit different picture than when I saw, when I read this, it just kind of popped out to me right away. Here's the amazing thing that we understand about the farmer. It says that the kingdom of God is like a farmer. It doesn't say that the kingdom of God is like a seed. It says the kingdom of God is like a farmer. Okay, so that's one thing that we need to understand. The farmer goes out and scatters seed. And what does the seed do? Well, it grows, as the parable says. But the parable is interesting because it says night and day. It doesn't say that the seed grows day and night. Do you notice that? That's because in the Jewish context, day actually begins at the dawn of the day before. Or at the dusk of the day before. Sorry, I'll get you there. Just keep buckling your seatbelt. We're going, right? So the day actually begins in the evening of the night before. So the reason it says night and day is because that's actually the start of the day in this context. So at the start of the day, as the farmer sleeps, all of a sudden this seed begins to grow and it begins to show itself. And the funny part is Jesus says, the farmer doesn't know how this happens, right? I mean, honestly, we may understand the physics and we might understand the biology of seed growth, but when we really get down to the nitty-gritty of it, how much do we really understand about what happens? It says the farmer doesn't understand. All the farmer can do is plant the seed. He can't make the seed grow. Farmers can't make seeds grow. They can plant them, but they can't make them grow. And the conditions when the seed is planted are really important. In order to experience growth, the conditions need to be ripe. The soil needs to be ready and fertile. It needs to be able to accept the seed so the seed can do what the seed's going to do. So as we learn in the parable of the sower, it's actually tomorrow's reading again, Mark 4, verses 1 through 20. In the parable of the sower, the seed will grow and reproduce if it's planted in the right soil. So here's the imagery that I want you to get in your head. Small groups are like seeds. Small groups are like seeds. If you, as farmers, scatter seed, and if we as the church, being kind of the farmhouse, if you will, if we go out and we plant seeds and we scatter seeds, if we look at small groups as an opportunity to go and to plant ourselves an area to see potential growth. So the seeds are like small groups. We need to cultivate the soil of the group. If the group is in good, fertile soil and things are ripe, then what's going to happen? What's the natural byproduct of that cultivated soil? What will the seed do? It will grow. Now, isn't that amazing? If we think about that in context to small groups, if we plant a small group, if we look and we scatter the seed throughout our area and those seeds are in the right, you know, and they cultivate the soil, then the byproduct of that group will be what? Growth. So we want to watch the seed. We want to watch the groups grow. But there's also another piece of this. And I'm going to touch on this more later, but I want to tell you now. It's not just growth that we want to see, but it's also reproduction. See, growth is one thing, but seed-bearing plants, they all have one thing in common. They're built for reproduction. They're built to continue. So let's look at this from the perspective of a sunflower seed. Now, I thought about actually bringing a big bucket of sunflower seeds, and I was going to just start throwing them at you, right? And I thought, might be a little bit too much interaction there. And then also, I thought... our custodians might kill me. So if we take the simple sunflower seed and we look at the life cycle of the sunflower seed, now hang with me here. The first stage that we have is the actual seed itself. The seed has to go in the ground, right? Jesus actually says, unless the seed goes into the ground and dies, because that's exactly what happens, it won't experience new life. So we have this growth that happens from the seed. So stage two is called germination. Everybody say germination. It's just a great word, isn't it? It's awesome. So when the seed germinates, there's two things that happen. Now, I want you to keep this in context to also, not just we're talking about a physical seed, but we're also talking about small groups. There's two things that happen. It needs plenty of water and sunlight. It needs plenty of water and sunlight. Our life groups, our small groups are going to need plenty of living water, and it's going to need plenty of light from the S-O-N, the sun. Because this is the second thing that happens. Roots begin to form. Are y'all with me this morning? Come on, this is fun stuff. We're talking about seeds in church. But a root begins to form. When the seed begins to sprout up, but it also begins to go down. And the roots begin to form. And when it has plenty of living water and it has plenty of light from the S-O-N, all of a sudden that small group will begin to grow and it'll take root. And it'll be healthy because of how it started. Now, what do you notice in the parable about how quickly the seed grows? If you go back to the parable, you look in Mark 4, what does it say? Well, it says, first, a leaf blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed. And then finally, the grain is ripened. The grain ripens. So this is referring to grain, but it doesn't happen overnight. The growth of what happens coming from the ground, it's slow and methodical and intentional. There's lots of things that happen in order for that grain all of a sudden to become tall stalks of wheat ready for harvest. There's lots of biology that needs to happen. Well, it's the same thing with life groups. In life groups, there's process that we need to go through, and we need to allow that process to happen in order for us to see it become ready and ripened. And it grows stronger and stronger and gets more mature as it continues to grow. So then we get to stage 3. It's one of my favorite stages, photosynthesis. Everybody say photosynthesis. Awesome. Very good. See, now some of you, y'all are farmers, right? And so you know all of this and you go, oh, I totally know where he's going with this. Because if you know photosynthesis, what's the whole purpose of photosynthesis? It's actually the plant producing its own food. So it becomes healthy enough because of the light that's hitting it. It begins to be production. It produces its own food. Now, the cool thing is if we're filled with the living water, and if we are getting light from the S-O-N, from the Son of God, then guess what? We're going to start producing good fruit. We're going to start producing. Production is a natural thing if you're filled with the living water and you're getting light from the S-O-N, from the Son. Is it okay if I just say Son now instead of spelling? Y'all get where I'm going? All right, good. I just don't want y'all to be confused when I say Son. Because I am talking about, yes, the physical sun in the sky, but when we're talking about life groups, we need to talk about the Son of God who gives us pure light. So the cool thing for us is that we get to be a part of photosynthesis. And you can look in our groups, and hopefully we pray that you can look at these stages in the process and go, yes, this is good. This is healthy. This is God-honoring. And the coolest part about it is it starts to bear fruit. It starts to bear fruit. Stage 4. Now all of a sudden, it begins to start looking like a sunflower. Right? If we go back, oh, spoiler alert. Darn, I was trying not to do that. But if we look at the makeup and the chemistry of groups in the Bible, you have to go to Acts 2, 42 through 47. And I talked about it this morning with our life group leaders, and this is a part of our training, that there was a distinct understanding of what a small group looked like in the scripture. They met together. How often? Daily. Oops. They met together in the temple daily, but they didn't just meet in the temple daily. They also met in each other's homes daily. And what did they do when they met in each other's homes? They shared a meal together. Not only did they share just a meal together, but they also shared in the Lord's Supper. They also shared in the Lord's Supper. They participated in communion together. And so these things happen on a regular basis. And they had, what does the scripture say in Acts 2? They had everything in common. And they were so great. And then at the end, in verse 47 of Acts chapter 2, and it says, and the Lord added daily to those who were being saved. The Lord added daily those who were being saved. See, the best part is we can work and work all we want, but if we don't rely on the Holy Spirit and God to do the work that we can't do, then we're not going to see production. Because we need to lean on God and His leading. So it begins to start looking like a sunflower. So that means for us, our life groups begin to start looking like the kingdom of God. Oh, imagine. Imagine what it would look like for our life groups, for our small groups. For some of those groups, you're not in right now. Many of you are going, wow, well, how do I get plugged into these things? Don't worry, that's coming. Because the truth is, we want Trinity to be an example of the kingdom of God. And when I look at the scripture, this is one of the ways that I see that God uses us to advance His kingdom. And it's when we're united together and we show the world around us, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. So then we look at stage 5, pollination, right? Pollination, I love this. I learned a ton about bees yesterday. I did. I learned a ton about bees and I hope I'm not letting any cats out of the bag, but we have a certified beekeeper among us. Mr. Blaine Smith is a beekeeper and has bees. If you have questions, Blaine, I'm putting you on the spot here, but if you have questions about bees, he's your man. So I learned a ton about bees yesterday. I still don't like them, and I'm still deathly afraid of them. But the cool thing about bees is their role in growth. The role that they play, the reason why bees are becoming extinct is not because bees just aren't reproducing. It's because the wildflowers, and it's because of all the flowering and the pollination and all those things, the system, the process isn't happening. So they're not able to keep pollinating. They're not able to keep going. And if they're not able to keep pollinating and they're not able to keep moving, then guess what? They start to become extinct. So we see all of this happening in the life cycle of the world around us. So what about small groups? Well, guess what? When a sunflower begins to start to ripen and it starts to become more mature, just like a life group starts to become more mature, it starts to produce fruit. And guess what it does? It starts to attract the insects. All right, maybe that's not the best way to say that. It starts to attract other people. And not only does it attract other people, but it begins to give them what they need so that they can go back and populate their homes. Again, Trinity, am I preaching? Am I the only one that's kind of lined in on this? Because think about that. We want people to be attracted. We want to say and show them that we have something that they don't just desperately need, but they desperately want. If our groups don't look like the kingdom, and if our groups are not focused on filling ourselves with the living water and being in the light of the sun, then what are we going to attract? We want to show people that there's more to this. And you know what the reality is? We have to recognize as a church that the likelihood of somebody just magically walking through the back door of the church, it's not as common as it used to be. It's going to be in a smaller group where people are going to be more comfortable to engage and to start building relationships before they ever even think about attending 1451 Raymond Drive. We have to start knowing this. I got to keep going. So stage 6, this is the crazy part, right? Well, you can see up there, it says when the wind blows. You see, sunflower seeds and other seed-bearing plants, as you heard me say before, they're already geared that from birth, they are going to reproduce. We want the same thing for our small groups. Inside of our small groups, we want people that are bursting at the seams that they want to go and start their own life group. That they desire that from birth, we just say, we're going to reproduce. I'll be honest with you, I pray that over our church in general, not just in small groups, but just who we are here. That we are built and born with the desire to reproduce and to scatter seed. See, that when the wind blows, that all of a sudden the seed gets scattered around. And guess what happens? The whole process gets going again. Isn't that awesome? It's natural. It becomes a part of who the plant is. It becomes a part of who the seed is. So, it's amazing. I want to end here with a story, and I'm going to give you a couple of just little nuggets, and then we're going to go. So I had the privilege of, I lived in Boston for a year when I went to school, And while I was up there, I got a chance to actually go into the campus of Harvard and MIT and walking down the halls at MIT and being able to just hear some of the funny stories of things that happened on those campuses and different things. And I heard a story. And the story is absolutely, it's absolutely hilarious. So there's a story about a student from MIT who spent an entire summer going to Harvard. And he would walk up and down the football field wearing a striped shirt and blowing a whistle. So while he was walking up and down the football field in a striped shirt, blowing a whistle, he would throw out seed. He would throw seed as he went. And he did this every day during the entire summer. And people were just like, what in the world is going on? It looked kind of awkward at first. And so after about 10 or 15 minutes, he just would walk off the field. But he did it every day at the same time of day. Striped shirt, whistle, blowing the whistle, throwing the seed. Well, at the end of the summer, it came time for the first Harvard home football game. As the game was about to begin, the referee, wearing a striped shirt, walked out onto the field, and the first thing that he did was what? Blew his whistle. Immediately, thousands of birds flocked to that area. They had to stop the game for 30, they couldn't even start the game for 30 minutes while they tried to shoo all these birds off of the field. I mean, isn't that amazing? The student from MIT wrote his senior thesis on conditioned response. And he graduated. Now, had you been watching this student throughout the summer, every day, walking up and down Harvard's football field, blowing a whistle, wearing a striped shirt, and throwing seed, you would not understand his objective. It wouldn't necessarily have looked right. But once the football season began, his purpose would have been very, very clear. You see, small things can become very powerful in the right hands. And as we learn today, also in the right soil. Trinity needs to be a church that will intentionally scatter seed. Now, I go back just real quick here to the fact that verse 26 in Mark 4 says that the kingdom of God is like what? A farmer. It doesn't say that the kingdom of God is like a seed. It says the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed. Now, let me ask you this morning, Trinity, which are you? Are you farmer? Or are you seed? Because this morning we have to recognize that not everybody here, if you don't have a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, or if you're new to this thing called faith, you are a seed that is hopefully being watered and will grow and develop. But the other part is I have a lot of farmers in here. I have a lot of people who have come to that saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and you have learned and you have matured and the harvest is now ripe. But what does it say in the scripture? But the workers are few. See, we need farmers. We need people that are going to go out and be the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a farmer. So this week, for those of you that are farmers, be farmers. For those of you who are seed, I encourage you to keep being washed in the living water and exposing yourself to the sun. Okay, I got to say, the S-O-N. And continue to grow and allow your seed to take root. So just as much as you're growing up, you're also growing down. And I pray that our groups would be groups that would be a representation of the kingdom of God. Imagine if marriages are saved because we invest in small groups. Imagine if people don't fall through the cracks because they have a small group who catches and cares for them. Imagine if we became a church of small groups versus a church with small groups, because there's a difference. Imagine if that email from Darcy was real. I want to be a part of a church like that. Would you stand as we close? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your abiding presence. Thank you that we can take the imagery and the knowledge of what we have in a simple sunflower seed, and we can see the multiplication and the reproduction and the cycle that you've created these plants to go through, and how much more you desire for your people to go through. I thank you, Lord, that we are a church that wants to do all that we can, all that we can to create an environment where seeds can be cultivated and be fertile and can grow both up and down in their roots, where people can get to the place where then we see that stalk that is now ripened to maturity, and then now we get to be the ones who reproduce and multiply and bring others with us. So Jesus, I thank you for all of these things. I pray that this message would stick in our craw. I pray that our current life groups would take a look at themselves and say, does our life group look like the kingdom of God? And I pray for all the farmers this week to go out and scatter seed. And I pray for all the seed this week to continue to be nurtured and grow. And now, Trinity, I pray that you would just extend your hands, receive this blessing, and say it with me as we close this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you are sent.